The federal government's also under pressure to settle community concerns by imposing tougher rules for coal seam gas projects. The federal environment minister has written to Premier Barry O'Farrell, giving him until tomorrow to spell out how he plans to deal with coal seam gas projects in urban areas and near regional centres. So far, there's been no response. While that standoff continues, the federal opposition is pointing to Queensland as offering the template for reducing conflict over such projects, banning mining and coal seam gas developments within 2 kilometres of towns. The coalition's in the process of devising its own policy on coal seam gas and resources. Spokesman Ian McFarlane spoke to Alexandra Kirk.
Whilst it's still out for discussion, fundamentally it is that in terms of CSG exploration, it should take place with the landholder's permission, and on prime agricultural land it should only happen with the landholder's permission. We do believe that in terms of rural towns, populations of more than 1,000 people, there should be a 2 kilometre buffer zone around those towns, and that in terms of the science, we supported the expert panel set up by Tony Windsor and Tony Burke to make sure that where people are unsure of the science or where the community is uneasy about the facts, that we have an expert panel capable of going out and getting those facts and putting them on the table.
The Federal Environment Minister, Tony Burke's written to the New South Wales Government demanding it spell out its intentions on coal seam gas approvals and asking Premier O'Farrell to urgently reconsider, quote, the appropriateness and impacts of coal seam gas projects on urban and regional communities. Do you think that's fair?
Well, I think there has to be support from all areas if coal seam exploration development is going to happen. I think Tony Burke's playing a fair bit of politics in this, bearing in mind that my information is that the Commonwealth signed off on the New South Wales protocols in September, and it's just waiting the final signature of the Prime Minister. But whatever that state federal argy-bargy is, I think there has to be a process where if the community requires it or if the minister requires it, the expert panel gets involved. I think in Queensland we've seen a much different approach. We've seen both the previous Bligh government and the current Campbell-Newman government working with the community, working with the oil and gas companies and working with the science fraternity to make sure we do this in a way where we don't affect underground aquifers, where farmers actually are now making significant amount of money out of coal seam being on their properties. 3 million is not uncommon. 6 million has been given to one landholder that I'm aware of. In terms of the coexistence between the two industries, Queensland is probably well in front of New South Wales. We need to get New South Wales to that position, because the bottom line in this, Alex, is that New South Wales will run out of gas, literally run out of gas by 2016 if they don't get some of their coal seam areas developed.
So would Premier O'Farrell be well advised to follow the Queensland example and simply draw buffer zones around populated centres?
Well, look, I'm not going to give Barry advice, but I will be parochial enough to say that what's been done in Queensland works. In terms of New South Wales, I've been saying for 18 months, particularly to the industry, the concept of drilling under people's homes, I mean, at this stage, there just isn't that level of confidence. So I think the industry needs to step out of the more densely populated areas, allow the 2 kilometre buffer zone to be set up, get out of the Hunter, get out of the central north coast, go up into the areas where they can sit down with farmers and landholders, come to an agreement where money changes hands and the science is much more secure, and companies like Santos are doing that. But in the more highly populated areas, particularly where there are small players, particularly where those small players don't have the wherewithal to go out and consult with the community and also ensure they've done the science, the community is quite rightly alarmed.
Just on the mining tax, you've ridiculed the government for raising so little revenue, but at least they've raised $126 million. That's at least some return on what is a national resource, is it not?
Well, not really. I mean, 126 less 40, which would have come in the company tax. So you've got $86 million being raised by a tax that, by their own admission, cost $50 million to put in place and has cost the industry easily that just in accounting fees. It's been a complete disaster. It was flawed from the start. Now, Wayne Swan got skinned alive as soon as I heard the outcome of the negotiation where state royalties would be rebated. So, of course, it's since then all states have put their royalties up, and that the mining companies could use today's market value rather than the depreciated value. They were shot right from that date. They had given away probably $10 billion in the Ford estimates, and the past 6 months have proved that.
The Coalition's resources spokesman, Ian McFarlane, speaking to Alexandra Kirk there.